Welcome to the Level Up Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Alex. I went from being a cop to an eight-figure entrepreneur that helps average people like you and me make money every single day. I created this podcast to help you get motivated and to crush your goals. Let's win together. Remember, I have your six. Get ready to level up right now. Welcome back to the Level Up Podcast. This is Paul Alex. Guys, we have another exciting interview. So today I have my friend Sam here. Sam is the founder of Next Level Funding. He's actually funded businesses, 9-to-5ers, business owners, real estate investors, absolutely anybody who needs funding for their next project or business, okay? He's done over $120 million. That is over nine figures, guys, in funding in the past 3 years. Sam, how you doing? And welcome to the show, brother.
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely, brother. So how's everything over here? How you liking Miami?
I like it. Always gonna like Miami. It's hard not to like.
Dude, Miami is one of those places where it's the capital of like entrepreneurship now. You got everybody down here.
Right.
Big network. But you yourself, your business is based out of Las Vegas.
Correct.
How is Las Vegas right now, dude?
Las Vegas, right now it's good, but yeah. It gets hot.
It gets hot.
It gets super hot and okay. Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
All it's missing is the beach, though, but same thing. The hub there is insane.
Yeah.
A lot of old money goes there, right? Which mm-hmm. then becomes new money.
Right, right. That's awesome, dude. And tell us, like, how did you start your company, man? Because a lot of people are like, oh, okay, like, I've heard of funding companies, but how do you start one, dude?
So a lot of it started from relationships, right? Mm-hmm. My first business venture was construction, right? Mm-hmm. And in construction, I needed money. So I was, you know, go to banks. This is in the third. I started going out, right? Meeting more people and meeting, they're called BRMs, business relationship managers.
Mm.
And, you know, and then they started saying, hey, do you have other construction people that need loans? And then with that, I'm like, okay, why do they always ask me that? Like, do they make a cut? You know, and I'm like, oh, okay. I thought it was just salary. Long story short, started meeting them more and more, and I got the offer to be bought out. Did wow. I want to? Not really, because I saw the potential, but did I need it? Yeah, at the time, my money management skills were horrible.
So, okay, let's back up real quick,
yeah.
Because, you know, this is called the Level Up Podcast. A lot of people, dude, they're watching this, and they're like, how can I get out of my situation? How can I go ahead and get into entrepreneurship?
Right.
So you already had a construction company before you even started the funding company.
Correct.
Okay. And I mean, who taught you how to build a business, dude? Like, when did that start? Like, at what age? Like, where did you come from? A family of entrepreneurs? Right. How'd that work out?
The easiest way I could put it is, I guess I saw my mom always as an entrepreneur. She cleaned houses.
Okay.
That's what a lot of moms do when they come, right?
Yeah.
She cleaned house her whole life, right? So, but she was her own boss. She didn't work for it. So for anybody. But she did, right? Which is the homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that, and I'd go with my mom all the time. So I'm like, you know, as I started growing, I was like, man, I'm not good with like hounding me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to figure something out or I'm not going to be that successful.
Right.
So a good buddy of mine was like, hey, let's start a construction company. I go every summer. We're 17, 16. Started doing flooring. Long story short, it started growing relationships. And then that's when he's like, hey, I want my cousin to also jump on, and he bought me out, and then I started the funding companies.
And then at what age did you get bought out of your construction company?
I was 23.
You were 23?
Right.
Wow, that's amazing, dude. I can only remember back when I was 23, dude. I was going to Vegas for the wrong reasons.
There you go.
I was going out there to party. I was going out there to have a good time.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, the way I see things is like, you know, things happen for a reason. I had to, you know, unfortunately, go through those hard lessons myself.
Right.
But it just made me a better person, man.
Yeah, 100%.
You live and you learn and you go through experiences, right?
Right.
So I know you're a family guy. I know that you travel quite a bit. You have multiple businesses now, which we're going to get into in a minute, man.
Right.
But let's talk about when you mentioned earlier about you going into the bank and then getting curious about why the bankers were asking you about funding other businesses.
Right.
Okay. After that whole epiphany happened, what was your next step, man? Like, what did you do to actually take action to start a funding company?
So what I did is, like, I know it's going to sound cliche, but YouTube. I started seeing people on YouTube literally saying how to start one. You know, they're charging, hey, hit me up. I charge 10%, 15%, 20%. I'm like, wow, okay. So when I went to deal with these business relationship managers, like, hey, when you come to me, I can override. I connect to the underwriter directly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have a higher chance of getting $50,000 for a client of yours than if they just walk into the bank today and talk to a teller.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa, okay. So then I'm seeing all these guys, you know, 10%, 15, 20. I'm like, oh, I can make, you know, $1,000. You know, I get somebody $100,000, I can make $10,000.
Right.
So, and I'm selling money. Mm. Who says no to money? You know, nothing charged up front. Only a performance fee is what I call it, because if I don't perform, I don't get paid.
Right.
So who's going to say no, right? You know, full transparency is like, hey, you won't qualify. We can't move forward. They don't lose anything, you know, maybe a little bit of hope at the moment, but, you know, there's other ways around it. Hope comes back. But at the same time, if they do qualify, you know, they have nothing to worry until I'm done.
Mm.
So it became a no-brainer. I'm like, wow, I could be a person that just gets paid on the back end over and over and over, and everybody wins, right?
Yeah.
So that's what it was.
So let me ask you, what would it take to fund an actual client? Like, what do you guys look for in, like, minimum qualifications?
So minimum qualifications, the I call it, like, the best scenarios. Mm-hmm. There's, again, other ways around it. We'd be here for hours speaking about it. But the best case scenarios nowadays for banks is going to be 740 credit or above, at least three accounts of $3,500 primaries. They have to be yours. So $3,500 plus, mm-hmm. and minimal inquiries. That's the best ones, right? Because, and you want to have some of your cards being used, right? That's another thing a lot of people don't know, is too much available credit is a thing. Because banks will look at you and be like, why does Paul want more money? He has 80K sitting in a credit card. Why does he want more? He doesn't, you know? So you want to kind of use 20 to 25% of that card. So they're like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So what is the biggest mistakes that you see? And I'm pretty sure you see a whole lot.
Right.
Because humans, you always make mistakes. But
right.
What is the biggest mistakes that you see when somebody's trying to apply for funding and let's say the deal doesn't go through? What are your top three reasons why that would happen?
So top three reasons, it's the biggest reason, which baffles me every day, is when I tell them the game plan,
mm-hmm.
and they do a part of the game plan.
Got it.
So they'll pick and choose. They're like, oh, I'm going to go for an Amex really quick. And then they come, hey, I got an Amex just so you know. I'm like, you ruined it because Chase has a 524 rule. And now we're stuck in a jam.
Right.
I can't get you no more funding. Oh, why? I'm like, because Amex was fourth in line. I just gave you the game plan, so for full transparency. So you're not seeing inquiries like, oh, why did I get this? You know what we're doing. That's a big reason. It's like, if you're hiring us for funding, let us do the funding.
Right.
So believe it or not, that happens quite a bit, which is still baffling to me, right?
Yeah.
But that's one of the biggest reasons. Another thing is going to be cars. Everybody, they're eager. They want to buy a car. I'm like, delayed gratification. Let's get you funding first, get you the car. Say, hey, Sam, guess what? I got a car, though. I'm like, dude, which car? This one. That's not even the one you wanted. We could have went for the one you wanted after the funding. You know, so little things like that, they make a huge difference, because new credit, banks hate. They hate new credit. So there's something called setting up for funding.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, a perfect example, I run a funding company, but I haven't done funding for myself in over 8 months. Mm-hmm. But in June, why not May? Why not right now in April? In June, I'm doing funding for me, a little bit on my personal side, and more on my business. Because I'm setting myself up for funding in June for best qualifications and scenarios.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a thing.
Okay. So let me ask you, I mean, how exactly does that work? So when you say I'm setting myself up for the best scenarios, can you go deeper in that?
Absolutely. So no inquiries,
mm-hmm.
after 6 months, they're there, but they don't hurt you as much. So we rather have them a year old. So like anything from, you know, April of 2024, right? That's fine. So I'm waiting for that to happen, right? So less inquiries, utilizing my card strategically. One thing that I like to do is max out my cards every month, pay them off. Max out, pay them off. That shows the bank that it's not enough, right? Like Bank of America, people watching this will probably know. I don't know what's wrong with them, but Bank of America, you could have 80 grand on one card at Chase and 150,000 at Amex, they'll give you 5,000. Wow. You could have a business with them generating 200, 300,000 a year, and they see that, they'll give you 5 grand. So they're notorious. So I'll max out that 5 grand every single month setting up. So what's going to happen in June? I'm going to go to Bank of America. It's been 9 months of maxing out 5K and paying it off. Guys, it's this, you know, maxing out sometimes twice a month, right? 10, you know, this is a pain. I'm wasting time having to pay off my card, waiting for available credit to reuse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now I'm setting myself up for June, most likely about a 90% chance they're going to up the 5 to about 15 or 20.
Hmm.
Interest free.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So little things like that, right? A year goes by, your interest free is about to expire. There's a way to do a retention offer. There's a way to extend it for another year, wow, 6 months, a way to move your credit lines. So little things like that.
So drop some game on us, man, because even me, I want to learn how to get like some zero interest credit. Emilio, you want to get some zero interest credit?
Hell yeah.
I mean, dude, we can always use more money, right? OPM, other people's money. So drop some game right now on the pod, dude. And like, mind you, right? If you want to drop some heat, you're going to look at that one. But let them know, dude. Let them know like what somebody can do. Let's say if they're about to end on their 12-month interest-free credit card. Right. What can they do? What action can they take to extend that? Or just like you said, what other benefits can they get off of doing an action?
So one of the biggest things is retention offer, right? So it doesn't always work, but the second scenario always works. But the first one is you always want to try a retention offer, right? You're going to let them know, hey, I've loved this card, as you can see. So you've used a lot of it. You want to use as much as you can. And, you know, I always pay it off. I love the card, but it's not going to work for me. It's not interest free anymore. What they'll do to retain you, because you're going to threaten them that you're going to close it without saying you're going to close it. But they're going to get the gist of it, right? So what they're going to do is they're going to most likely extend you 6 months. Sometimes you get lucky a little bit longer, right? It's happened before. Another way you do it, which is a little bit more tedious, but it works, is you could keep revolving this 3, 4, 5 years. Is, let's use Chase as an example. Interest-free for 12 months. You get another LLC, and you apply for that one before your 12-month mark. Now you have a new 12-month, right? That credit limit you have here, you can move it over. So now you have a bigger limit on a card, interest-free for another 12 months.
Wow.
That's the more tedious part. So it's like, you know, for entrepreneurs, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you know one LLC is not enough for many, many reasons. You know, trust account, S-corps, LLCs, you wanna have that. Even if you're not using them, they benefit you in many different ways, right? Number one, funding, right? Yeah. I could do funding for Next Level Funding. I could do funding for Prestige Pulse Agency. You know, all my other companies, you know, Next Level Ventures, which is our real estate that we have. So I'm able to move everything in a strategic way. You know what I mean?
So what would you say? Do you guys often do a lot of credit repair when it comes to your clients?
We do. So out of every 500 leads we get, believe it or not, about 450 are credit repair.
Wow.
They say they're not, but it's like they are.
Mm. And what is the most common thing that you see with people that need credit repair?
Late payments.
Wow.
Even if it's a 130-day late. It happens. You mess up. Or you mess up the time. It happens, right? It's like, because if you want to be very technical, right, you have the 30 days to pay, then you have a whole 30 day before they've reported late. Mm. Not saying do this. Not saying you have 60 days. But if you want to be very technical, you do. But once you, but your goal is to always pay on time. When you get there, right, they'll, like, on the 30th day, they report it to the agency. Even that morning, you could call that day. It's like, it's been reported. I've seen that happen.
Wow.
So late pays are very hard. Why? Because the account is open. So it's your account, and it's open, and now it's late. And late payments, by the way, guys, is 35% of your credit profile.
Wow.
The next big one is utilization. It's 30% of your credit profile. And then it's collection. That's 10%. So a collection, which is horrible, is 10%, while a late payment's 35% of your whole credit profile.
Yeah.
So I've seen scores of 770, 780, go down to the 605 from one late.
Wow.
Ridiculous things like
that. I never knew that, man.
Yeah.
I never knew that. Late payments is very important. I think I even had a couple back in the day when I was in my 20s.
Right.
But, dude, I didn't know it affected my credit that much. I thought it was always the utilization of the card.
Right.
Primarily affected everything.
Right.
But, man, that makes a lot of sense.
So those two things in check, you're good. You're right. If you have a collection, you know, they're easier to remove because a collection's been – is debt that's been sold off.
Got it.
Technically, in this country, debt should not be sold because debt has no value. So how do you sell something with no value? So you can kind of hit them with a little bit of consumer law. You know what I mean? The debt's still yours. So don't let these guys tell you, oh, it's collection. The debt's not yours. The debt will always be yours because it's in their system until it's purged out, which is years of purging. Not the 7 years like credit bureaus. In Chase, they'll know. for 15, 20 years, they're going to know. And we just went through this experience with a client right now as we speak.
Wow.
Yeah. So very important.
And then, you know, how did you learn about credit repair?
So again, courses, great courses, not so great courses, you know, investing into some mentors, you know, guiding me. And 2020, I got into the 75 hard. So I was like, you know, instead of 10 pages of nonsense, I'm going to read, which you shouldn't read nonsense because he says try to motivational and growth. I started reading consumer law a lot. So I got deep into it, you know. I was like, oh, I'm about to be a lawyer now, you know. I got as deep as possible into consumer law and just started learning. I'm like, okay, so they could do this, but I can do this to loophole this.
Right.
Right?
So you would always have a counter.
Yes, because that's how you counter them. You know what I mean? You're asking a bureau to prove to you that debt is yours.
Right.
How does Experian know that debt's yours? You never walked into Experian headquarters, sat down, applied for an Amex in front of them. You never did that with a wet signature, ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they need to use the law to help them counter you, mm-hmm. which 99% of the counters are verification. So off the bat, when you do credit repair with us, we already hit you with all that. Like we make sure your social's there, your ID's there, front, back. There's no coming back with like, are you sure you're Paul Alex? You got all the info right here. You got my ID, my utility bill, and my social front and back, you know? So we kind of one step ahead every time.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And then what would you say if a person that's freshly starting out getting credit cards? Mm-hmm. Because, dude, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be transparent with you guys. I didn't really start using credit cards because I wasn't educated in it, man.
Right.
I wasn't using credit cards. I remember, you know, I come from a Hispanic household. My mom was Peruvian immigrant. My dad was a Mexican immigrant. And both of them always told me, they're like, oh, credit cards are bad. They didn't know the difference between good debt and bad debt, right?
Right.
And they were like, always use your debit. Always use cash. Cash is king, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you make sense. I was in the ATM industry a while back. But when I started using credit cards, it was around 25, 26 years old.
Right.
And then what I started doing is I started taking out 2 credit cards a year.
Okay.
To build up my credit score. Right. To see that, hey, like, you know, I'm building up my gap of, yeah, right. mix of cards. And I still know a lot of people, man, that right. are now in their 30s.
Right.
And they don't even have a credit card yet.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So what would you tell somebody that's watching right now, whether they are 18 or maybe they're going in their mid-30s, man, and they wanted to actually do this the smart way, what would be some word of advice?
Right. The smartest way is going to be whoever you bank with, get a credit card with them. Mm. Right. Don't fear credit. Only fear it if you're irresponsible. So I nowadays we have to say that. If you know – you're the only one that's going to know your character and the way you are. If you know you have an issue, try to refrain from it. You know, figure that first. Like go into a deeper level with yourself first, because I've seen it where they know they have the issue. They get 50, 60, 70,000. 2 weeks later, it's gone. Mm. It goes into a charge-off. They just went backwards for 2-3 years.
Wow.
They just wasted 2-3 years of their life.
Wow.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Right? So, but it's your relationship. That's what it is. Relationships are important. So you always go for the bank that you bank with, right? So if you bank with Chase, go for their Chase Freedom. Simple. Yeah. It's not the best card. There's no annual fee, interest-free for 6 months. It's your first baby card. They might give you 3-5 grand, but you do that, right? If you're able to max out and pay it off, I would do recommend that, right? But if you're not, just use it as your debit card. If your bills are $6,000 a month, always use credit cards. Don't travel with debit. Put your debit in your safe. For 3 of my bank accounts, no, I have no debits. They said, do you want a debit card? Nope, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I'll move it if I need to, and I'll put everything on a credit card as much as I can, right? So that's how you want to start. And then, you know, you go to a second card, a third card, and it's a building. You build it little by little, you know what I mean? The easiest way to excel a little bit quicker is, you know, you get your first bank card.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when you get that approval, you could get a second one right away.
Mm.
So now you're a little bit ahead of the game. 90 days later, what you want to do is get a third. Then that's where you call us and we open up an LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're ahead of a little bit of the game because you got 3 cards. We'll wait a few more months so they're not too new.
Yeah.
And, you know, we look at what bureaus they pulled, et cetera, right? Hopefully you've done, you know, a trio, which a bank that pulls Experian, a bank that pulls TransUnion, one that Equifax, and then we get you business funding.
Mm.
But you got to understand, because you're so fresh, you're not going to get the results that we usually get. But we've done that. We've helped, like, hey, I want to start my journey, though. Okay, we get them 30 grand max on the business. But, hey, now they have 30 there, 20 here. They have 50. Cash flow business, something, you know, and you just keep growing from there.
And that's better than nothing, man.
But it's a marathon, 100%.
Yeah.
Done right, it's a marathon. It takes, in my opinion, 2 to 3 years to be like, wow, I got 100 grand. Now I could do another funding round and almost guarantee myself 80 to 150.
But you know what? 100 grand in a few years isn't bad, dude. Especially, you know, being a first timer or going ahead and not knowing anything about that.
Right.
So do you know any good books, man, that people can actually read, or any YouTube channels that you recommend that people go to get more educated on utilizing credit and going ahead and getting funded and all that?
Yeah. What do you got? Mike, the Credit Guy, is really, really good. Mm. Another really good one is there's this company called ImproveU, and they have Money 360. Mm-hmm. It's free, right? So it's Money 360, and they teach you, you know, literally almost everything, right? That's ImproveU would probably be one of the best, because, you know, they also have like, not really like a course, but like, you know, weekly calls, you know, that you could jump on and learn a lot, because there's a lot to it. There's so much to it.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, the Encore, you know, it was bought on a credit card.
That's
a casino in Las Vegas.
The casino.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, you know, like, imagine the power you have. Not saying, you know, everybody will get there, but, you know, he had unlimited, literally.
Right.
But just think about it. He built his way there.
Yeah.
So he used credit to build business A, B, C, D, all the way to, like, I just bought the Encore.
That dude must have had, like, the black card, and then he probably got, like, 10 millions in points.
Yeah, probably. And then used those points to buy all the casino machines.
I was like, that or a plane or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome, dude. I love that. I love that. The leverage of using credit.
Mm-hmm.
And then how good are you with points, man? You got knowledge on the points?
Yes. So points.
What do you got?
Points are phenomenal. So, like, I'll give you a perfect scenario. So, used Amex all year, mm-hmm. right? Made a video for this, so we're going to put it out there. I saw another guy do it, so I'm not going to say I invented this, because I saw another dude do it. I'm like, man, that's awesome. I want to try that. So, 90% of Rolex ADs will not accept an Amex, because Amex is notorious for having your back.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody could be like, I never bought this Rolex, which is wrong. Never do that, please, because people are going to jail now.
Mm-hmm.
They used to not. Nah, people are actually getting knocks on the door, FBI putting you in prison for this. I forgot what the name is for it. There's a term for it when you, you know, get your car wrapped or you know, mechanic work, and you do a chargeback with Amex. So, but they'll take Amex points.
Mm.
So I used my card, and I had 1.4 million points.
Wow.
Equivalent to $14,000.
Yeah.
Went to Thomas Markle in the Woodlands in Texas, had a good relationship with them, and got a Rolex on points. Did pay the tax, $1,850, I'm sorry, but got a Rolex on points. I wanted to see if it, like, worked, and it worked. It was pretty cool.
Emilio, that is the title for this podcast, my friend. How to buy a Rolex with credit card points.
Yeah.
I love that, dude.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, points.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, points are, they work, you know, and there, you know, there's little tricks.
That's the first time I've heard that, dude.
Yeah.
That's fire.
Yeah.
And you did a reel on this already?
I did, yeah, like, yeah, not a reel. I guess it will be a reel.
Dude,
it's going
to
be one.
There's about to be one right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but the actual happening, yes, it's been done. It's getting edited, whole nine yards.
That's fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Like, there's a lot you can do.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, you know, transferring points, things like that, you know, utilizing them to travel. You know, what is it? To Dubai from JFK. Don't quote me again, guys. I haven't checked recently, but, like, what, 13,000
mm-hmm.
first class
mm-hmm.
for one person round trip, right? Mm-hmm. 130,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
If you move them correctly from Amex, you know, to another source, things like that, you know what I mean? Like, there's like Rome, like, it's called ROAME.
Mm-hmm.
They points are worth more with them.
Yeah.
So you have 100,000 points, they kind of, like, back you up with, like, another 80,000. It's just the way they work. They have deals with the airlines. You start mastering that, you're going to Dubai like a king 4 or 5 times a year with only using 300 grand a year on your card that you need to use anyways.
Yeah.
So if you need to use it, right? That's where you come from debit, right? Debit cards. Mm-hmm. They don't do that.
Yeah.
What, Discover debit card does it? 1%? Like, but they're just trying to trick you to, like, be stuck on the debit. You know what I mean? So
No, 100%. That makes a lot of sense, man. I mean, at the end of the day, like the way I used to do it, and I'm no expert, guys, but like I know for a fact that like, let's say Delta or British Airways, right? If you transfer your Amex points and you transfer it to them on that account, then they'll give you, like you said, the 6X
right.
or the 8X points. And then you buy the ticket with that.
Right.
Right. So it makes a lot of sense, man. But you got to be in the know, man. You got to be looking and scouting it and all that stuff. Because it's like promo. It's promotions that happen. Exactly. So you got to get it at the right time.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
So as far as the knowledge with what you got going on right now, what is your avatar, dude? Like, and I always ask people this, and I know you service everybody, but for right now, who are you primarily dealing with? Like, just the most recently, are you dealing with business owners, digital marketers? Are you dealing with more real estate investors? Who is your ideal client?
So my ideal client now is people with offers, right? Because for multiple reasons. One big reason is a lot of times we get people funding. They're like, what do I do? I'm like, oh, okay. So we got a game plan because, you know, after they pay us, you know, our percentage, you know, they're like, man, it's reality. At the end of the day, they're going to owe that on the card, right? But so working with coaches, consultants, you know, business owners that have offers, it's better for both. One, I don't need to run marketing ads because the owner is bringing me the leads.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the client is already knows what the owner's offering, so they're already sold. We get them the funding for that offer. We know they're making money, so that percentage they gave us will be paid back as long as they put in the work for that type of business.
Yeah.
Right? That's the most important thing. They got to put in the work and fulfill and keep going, you know, with it and growing it, right?
Yeah.
But that to me is going to be the best for all those reasons.
No, that makes a lot of sense, man, because it's a no-brainer, right? It's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't anybody do that?
Right.
So with that being said, man, I mean, talk to me about the stress behind being a business owner. We were talking about this before the show, guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very stressful. Entrepreneurship is one of the hardest things that you would do in life. You know, and this is coming from a former detective in the city of Oakland, one of the most dangerous cities in California. And I will tell you this, entrepreneurship is 10 times more stressful.
For
but
sure.
But it is 10 times more fulfilling,
yes,
right? Because you get to change lives. You get to help people, right? And with you, man, you get to touch so many different lives by going ahead and helping people with funding start their business or their idea or their project, right? So it feels good.
Yeah, for sure.
No, that's good, man. So with that being said, let's talk about right now, what's your vision for the future? What's the vision for Next Level Funding, man? Where are you guys trying to go to? What are you trying to make happen? Are you working on any new projects?
Yeah, for sure. So our vision is to start buying small businesses, right? But still giving them a chance, right? Advisory shares, have a job, still stay in the business, you know, become equity partner.
Right.
But let us grow your business. We have the funding. We have the know-how. We have the systems, integrations, automations. Let's go from dinosaur to modern age. We win, right? You win by not losing your business and being able to stay in it and having cash flow. We win because we just bought a new business and we have equity in it, right?
Yeah.
And if you win, we win, right? Because we have equity in it. So that's something we've been doing, right? So, you know, we have, you know, in Vegas, a jewelry store, right? So high-end watches, custom-made jewelry, whole nine yards, right? So, you know, we're having UFC fighters coming over, you know, NFL stars, Raiders, like, coming over. Like, it's you know, it's pretty cool. But, you know, we're able to buy something and grow it and still work with the business owner.
Wow.
Another thing is we bought a mechanic performance shop.
Yeah.
You know, it was dying. You know, hey, can we see your books? It was a composition book from school, like just written, like curled up already. And like, oh, I'm like, whoa, this is your books? Like, how do you know how much you make? Oh, Zelle. I'm like, you only get paid by Zelle? Oh, that credit card machine. I'm like, bro, you can't even see the screen.
Right.
Like, what's, you know what I mean?
What's
like,
going on?
A lot of money being lost, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, give them the opportunity, buy the property, buy the business, allow them to still stay in the business and just keep moving like that, you know? So I guess the easiest thing I could say is like the new projects are just buying any business. Cause my opinion is this, 99% of businesses are ran the same way, period.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll succeed the same way, right? It's you know, systems, automations, a great team, marketing.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
No, and I think you could grow anything from that.
Dude, I mean, you hit it right on the dot. You know, I always say there's three needle movers, mm-hmm. right? Which is going ahead and client acquisition, sales, and fulfillment.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that. People make business to be all this technical and right. need to go ahead and learn and have a business degree and everything else. I'll tell you flat out right now, guys, I have mentees that have Harvard degrees.
Right.
They come to Harvard, but they still come and they're part of our network because they want to learn what we know.
Right. Right.
And it just comes with what you're specialized in.
Exactly.
Like with funding guys, I don't know the first thing on how to fund somebody, but I do know the person who does. Yeah. Right. And that's just the way it goes. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Your network is really your net worth, brother.
100%.
So I know you got into some new businesses now. What other ventures are you getting into as well, Sam?
So, our hobby mm-hmm. became a business. It was bound to happen, right? So, love cars, mm-hmm. love them a lot, but don't like to pay for them.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how can I have the cars and not pay for them and still make somebody's like life pretty good for a moment? Mm-hmm. So we got into the car rental business, like a lot of people do. But you know, we're making it a little bit different, right? We're doing package deals now, mm-hmm. which people are loving, right? $100,000 a year, just as an example, $100,000 a year. We just got our $2 million insurance for our high-end watches. So now what we're doing, because it's Vegas, is if you pay $100,000 a year, right? You come to Vegas, you get to choose what car you want. You get it for a Friday to a Monday. So you get it for the weekend and you get any watch you want, depending on the tier. To wear out during while you're in Vegas.
No way, dude. Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, 100%.
Did you get that from like, because I could have sworn I saw this idea. It was like on a reel. Not to say that they were doing the idea, but it was really? A skit.
Oh, was it?
And the yes. skit. Yes, you know what exactly I know what I'm talking about? Where like you would see different exotic cars, and it usually is two friends.
Yes.
And they take off the watch. They give the keys yes. to the Range Rover, and they're like, all right, your turn.
Your turn. Yeah,
and they're going.
Yep.
You know, the first time I ever heard about something like that, man, it was another podcast. I can't recall the name, but it was a young guy talking about the culture in Los Angeles. Mm. And in Los Angeles, you know, they were saying like, dude, there's Uruses, Lamborghini Uruses everywhere. Well, what the guy was saying, it's just like now what a lot of kids are doing, dude, is like there'll be a group of 4 to 5 kids going ahead and splitting the actual monthly payment on those cars. Right. And then they go ahead and they share it within amongst each other.
That's
every
pretty
week.
Cool. Yeah.
And I'm like, huh.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah. It is different, right? Because it makes it affordable. But at the same time, you know, it just shows you, man, like, you know, you got to think outside the box. But with the watch thing, man, that's very unique.
Yes.
That's very unique.
It's because, scary, but different.
Yeah, because I could see a lot of people doing that.
Yeah.
Just to go ahead and visualize themselves of how it feels like to be like a 1%.
Right. 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 So, yeah. So our mentality behind it is obviously we do the car rentals normal, like daily rates and stuff. You know, that's all part of it. But our mentality of it is like this. Because I had somebody tell me, man, 100 grand's a lot. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But then I started thinking, I'm like, okay, but if I have a $37,000 AP mm-hmm. that you can take every single 4 days out of the month or 3 days out of the month for 12 months and an exotic, they're like, oh, why can't he'll just buy the watch? But I'm like, but then what if you could switch out every month?
Yeah.
Now you got a Rolex Daytona. Then you got this one for the month. So when you grab all the watches, it's like 800 grand in watches you've worn for the year. You don't need insurance because we got it. You don't need to buy it because we got it. You know, and in cars, you know, if January you could get our matte black Lamborghini Huracan. Then you could get our orange Urus. Then you could get our Audi R8, yeah. right? The SQ8, the RSQ8, whatever you want, right? Every month. So when you grab the math of the cars, you're looking at $1.5 million in cars.
Easily.
So $100,000, but guess what? My grandpa always said, the car's great to close, but your opener is gonna be your wrist.
Mm.
Because 90% of the meetings you have, the guy's not waiting for you outside. So he doesn't know what you pulled up in.
Yeah.
But if the meeting goes well, when you open with your, because they're gonna look, when they look at your watch and you open the meeting, you have a great meeting, 99% of the time they're going to walk out with you, right? So if they walk out with you,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to see valet pull up with your Lamborghini, R8, Ferrari. That's see, and that becomes your closer.
Yeah.
So now imagine you're in Vegas. You want to go close a deal. You're part of the group. There's going to be more add-ons to the group, right? There's going to be a lot going on. There's going to be events we're going to do, networking mixers, you know, opening doors. You know, we have politics that come out to this stuff, politicians that come out to this stuff, I'm sorry, and, like, you know, big business owners, brick and mortars, owners of casinos, GMs. So the cool thing is, like, now you could go to Vegas. You're part of a community, mm-hmm. $100,000 a year, and you're able to, you know, rock a Richard Mille,
yeah.
$130,000 Richard Mille, nothing too crazy, but you're able to rock one of those and pull up in a $280,000 car, like a Huracan,
yeah.
Evo, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Little things like that. That's where we're trying to change the game and be very different, but it is nerve-wracking, because even though we got insurance, like, it doesn't stop somebody from catching the plane with a Richard Mille on.
Of course, man. Back. You know, it's the headache of the logistics and taking risk. And, you know, you guys really got to validate your guys' clients and do background checks and all that jazz, right? But like anything else, man, like, you know, when you're working a job like that where you're renting out, you know, equipment, watches, you're the cars, you always have to be worried. That's it, right? But to go back on the topic about the watches, dude, a funny story. Yesterday, or what was it, on Wednesday, actually, because today's Friday. But Wednesday, I usually do my weekly live presentations inside of this one Facebook group that we have. It's called Credit Card Processes for Beginners. It has about 45,000 members, nothing too crazy. But during the live, during that day, I wore a Patek Philippe watch with Army Green wristband, right? And it's my favorite color, bro.
That's my diehard favorite.
It's my favorite color. That's and crazy. I barely wear that watch. Well, I have a new employee that he's a little bit younger. He's like 22 years old. And he was just like, hey, man, why don't you ever wear like your Patek Philippe? Like, what's wrong with you? You always wear your, like, your Cartier Santos, like an all black one that I have that I usually take to the gym.
Yeah.
And I wear it because it's very silent luxury.
Right.
Like no one spots it.
Right.
You know, and I like that. And he goes, you should wear it. So I ended up wearing it on Wednesday during the live presentation. So I'm like this, usually how I am on camera.
Right.
And I have another buddy who stopped by yesterday and he goes, hey, man, do you have like a green watch? And I was just like, yeah, why? And he goes, check this out. He sends me a screenshot. It's one of his buddies watching my live. And then he also copied, I guess, the listing of the watch from Google to see how much it was.
Right, he's like a Chrono 24 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So then he goes and he writes underneath. He's like, dude, I got to work with this guy. That guy's wearing a $90,000 watch.
Right.
And then that was it. He was set. He set up an appointment with my company to talk about his business and starting up. But it really does. It attracts a different type of audience.
It does.
It really does, right? Because some people, you know, a lot of people are thinking like, oh, you're just selling it to people that have an ego and they want to be flashy. No, some people just want nice things. They maybe want to rent, you know, an AP or a Patek that they don't have before they buy it.
Right.
Right? And that's part of your service, man, where, you know, you'll get it based on the car. And then $100,000 for the service, dude, like I see that all day because the one thing that we have here in Miami are yacht clubs.
Right.
And the yacht clubs, you pay a membership fee and then it gets you exclusive rights to have rides or set up times where you can actually rent out people's yachts.
Right.
And these yachts are massive, dude. Like, you know, starting off at $50,000, $100,000, then you have the $250,000. You know, but you know your value, dude. You know what you're doing, which is why you're charging what you're charging, right? So, no, that's amazing, dude. Good for you, bro.
Yeah, it's
good,
cool.
Good job on that, man.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, that wraps up our segment today, guys. Sam, where can they go ahead and find you, brother?
Easiest way is going to be Instagram, right? So, it's Sam Mendes Correa, SamMendesCorreia. And, yeah, just hit a follow. DM me. I have a... one of my assistants usually answers the DMs, you'll notice. But, you know, let me know where you found me and then, you know, I'll reach out for sure.
And then, Sam, any words of motivation to have people level up in 2025, brother? Just like you.
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, the biggest, because it's just what I've lived, right? The biggest thing is going to be, and I repeat this all the time, in my opinion, the biggest way you're going to level up is with the right team.
Mm-hmm.
Find the right team, and the right team is not a friend always. It's find the right team because, I mean, you've heard this everywhere, right? Movies, whole nine yards, but you can get far alone, but you could get there faster with the team.
Facts.
But you could also slow down completely with the wrong team. So that's that. I'm gonna die by that. I say it in every event I go to. I always get asked this question. It's gonna be the same thing because I've been through it. Is team. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah. The right team will make you grow for sure.
And you have the experience, man.
Absolutely.
You've been through it. You've got through it, and now you're here, and now you're building another business, and you're gonna keep on going, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotta
keep on going.
Yeah, thank you.
No, well, I appreciate you being on the show, brother.
Yeah, 100%.
And guys, this is the Level Up Podcast. I am Paul Alex. We are currently ranked top 10 business podcasts in the United States right now. Make sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Make sure to share this with a friend. Share Sam's story. Man, it's amazing. In 3 years, his business, Next Level Funding, was able to fund over $120 million to people just like you, people just like me. And we were able to go ahead and use it to go ahead and make your visions a reality. I'm Paul Alex. I'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for listening up to the Level Up Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to share with a family, friend, and everyone you know who's ready to level up. Leave a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you tune in. It really helps spreading the word. And don't forget to check out officialpaulalex.com for more episodes and resources to kickstart your journey. Let's level up together.